So what we're going to do is we have a guest preacher this morning, and then we have Easter. And then a couple of weeks after that, we're just going to have a mini marathon. I promise we'll be back in Philippians. We'll have multiple sermons in a row with that. Because of the preaching schedule, we had the opportunity to have who really one of my best friends. When I first got saved in college, Nick Tanaka is this guy right here to my left. He was one of my very best friends when I was first a Christian on Oahu. Nick is a local boy from Oahu. We won't hold that against him because everybody knows Maui Noko Oi, but he's from Oahu. He now realizes Maui Noko Oi, I think, because he's been here for, how long have you lived here? Decade at least. Okay, 14 years. So he knows. He was the formal pastoral apprentice at Kahului Baptist Church. He was recently ordained as an elder there, pastor. So now he's a staff, full-time staff pastor at Kahului Baptist Church along with Randy Pauly. His beautiful wife and three kids are here as well. So we have Lily over there, and then we have Parker, Piper, and Paxton. Over there. I know that Nick is going to bless you guys with the word through the preaching of the word this morning. He is a faithful man and a faithful pastor. Brother Nick, would you please come and give us the word?
It's not hard to think Maui is better than Oahu. It's so beautiful, and I think I've sat through enough traffic for an entire life. So thank you, Van. Van is one of my best friends, and Kihei Baptist Chapel, you are so blessed to have a pastor, a faithful man of God who cares well for the body, and a fantastic preacher and teacher of the word. And so I'm just thankful to have him on the island again. And so I bring you greetings from Kahului Baptist Church, your sister church, and thank you for having me out here. It's a privilege to be able to bring to you the word of God. And so if you have your Bibles or if you have your phones, I would encourage you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to wait for you to get there because it's very important for you to follow along because I will be directing your attention to the text regularly. So if you'll turn there, and once you're there, you can kind of look up at me so that I know that everyone, that we're all together. So nice to hear turning pages, this digital world, right? If you have your Bibles on your phones, that's great too, but all right. So looks like everyone is pretty much there. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And so if you'll follow along with me with your eyes, I'm going to read God's word. I have the English Standard Version. So if you're reading a different version, just kind of follow along. This is God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we pray, like Paul prayed, that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will and of your word in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spirit, would you help me to make clear what your word says? May this time that I get to serve my brothers and sisters here at Kiye Baptist Chapel, may it be pleasing to you, Father, as we just sang, be our vision. May everything else be nothing except for you. Our chiefest desire, our deepest joy, what would bring us the most joy in this moment now is if you would glorify your Son through the preaching of your word. In His name we pray. Amen. So when I meet people at Kauai Baptist, you get a lot of visitors, a lot of tourists. I imagine many of you are here visiting as well. When I meet people, the one thing they ask me is, where can I get good local food? Like food that the locals eat in Maui. I know exactly where to point them to. I point them to places that the decor hasn't changed in 20 or 30 years. Everyone who works there are probably related to each other. Their green placard is sketchy, maybe. But check before you go because it's probably closed for a week because they're vacationing in Vegas. And so I know exactly where to go when I want good local food. But do you know exactly where to go to find out how to live a life that is pleasing to God? Where do you go to find endurance when times get hard? When your suffering becomes unbearable, where do you go? Do you know right away where to go? Well, Paul he's writing this letter to Colossian Christians who are hearing from false teachers that they should go to other philosophies, man-made rules to find real fulfillment, to find real help when things get hard. In the text before us, Paul is going to pray for the church in Colossae, and he's going to do it that points them to where they must go to find a life that is pleasing to God when times get hard. So I think we can summarize the text before us like this. Knowing God in the Word is the key to a life that fully pleases Him, fueled by His power, and full of praise. Knowing God in His Word is the key to a life that fully pleases Him, that is fueled by His power, and that is full of praise. I have 3 points, and I think this is how this text is structured. So if you're taking notes, my first point is for whom Paul prays. Second, for what does Paul pray? And third, to whom Paul prays. First point, for whom Paul prays. Second point, for what does Paul pray? And third point, to whom Paul prays. So my first point, for whom Paul prays. What are these Christians at the church in Colossae like? Well, we know, if we read a little further in Colossians, that they're being tempted to be led astray by false teachers. Notice what Paul says here about these Christians, though, in these verses. First of all, Paul calls them in verse 2, saints. Look with me there, saints or holy ones, faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul also always thanks God when he prays for them in verse 3. Did you notice that? Now, we can say much about Paul in these verses, how he always thanks God whenever he prays for them, how much of an example he should be to us in our prayer lives. But notice why Paul thanks God so often for these Christians. In verse 4, he thanks God for them since or because we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. So what is Paul always thanking God for them when he prays for them? I mean, for Paul, the Paul, to always be thanking God for them, it must be something huge, and it is. It must be something significant. It certainly is. It must be something that's rare to find in Christians, but these Colossians model, are exemplary in it. What makes Paul always thank God when he prays for them? You ready for it? That you're trusting in Jesus, that you love the saints. Kind of a letdown. That's kind of normal, right? Does that surprise you how seemingly normal that is? How seemingly mundane that is? What drives Paul to always thank God when he prays for these saints? Maybe that's why we search the world's databases. We look for something to the world's influencers to find something thrilling in this life. When Paul says faith in Christ, love for the saints is something he thanks God for always. That's praiseworthy. That thrilled Paul's soul. Are the things that thrills Paul's soul same thing that thrills yours? Are you looking for something else more thrilling than faith in Christ? Love for the saints. Notice what grounded their trust in Christ and love for the saints. Verse 5, because that grounds what he thanks them for, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Their faith and their love for the saints was grounded not in this life, not grounded in their feelings or emotions or their present circumstances. No, the motivation, the reason for their faith in Jesus and love for other believers was rooted in what is laid up for them in heaven. Now, we could spend hours talking about this hope that he talks about, but we don't have, I mean, obviously time for that, but plus Paul wants to point us to where that hope is found. Where do you go to know what this hope is? This hope, Paul says in verse 5, of this, that is of this hope, that grounds your faith and love, you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. Faith in Christ, love for the saints, it thrills Paul's soul because it is nothing less than the glorious work of the gospel. It is nothing less than the miracle of bearing of fruit, because the grace of God in truth, the word in the gospel, bearing fruit is the work of God, and it's a miracle. We are just as unable to bear fruit by our own effort as a thorny kiawe tree is able to bear mangoes. Bearing fruit is a work of God in the gospel. And this same gospel, Paul says in verse 6, has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. It's a miracle. The word of God, the truth, the gospel has come to you. It's bearing fruit. It's a miracle because before, how did these Christians in Colossae live? Well, if you turn your page, or if you just look to the next to chapter 3 of Colossians, verses 5 through 7, chapter 3 of Colossians, 5 through 7, Paul writes of them, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them." Brothers and sisters, do not take for one second, take for granted the work of the gospel by regularly, constantly, always thanking God for the gift of salvation. Do you want to rejoice always and pray without ceasing like Paul does? Thank God always for every work of God you see in the lives of others. Do not for one second overlook the work of the gospel in your brothers and sisters around you, small as that work may seem. When you see other brothers and sisters in Christ, love other Christians well, thank God for the work of his gospel in the life of that brother, that sister. Paul mentions Epaphras then in verse 7. He's going to kind of model this for us. The one who brought the gospel to the Colossians was not Paul, it was Epaphras. In fact, Paul never met these Colossian Christians, and yet he is always thanking God for them. But Epaphras is the one who brought this gospel, and Paul testifies to the work of the gospel, the bearing fruit in the life of Epaphras, that he is a loved fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ on their behalf. And because in verse 8, again, he's told Paul about their love, Paul can now give thanks for the work of the gospel in their lives. At the end of this letter, Paul is going to spend two more verses talking about this man, Epaphras. If you look in chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, he says of Epaphras, "Who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis." Brothers and sisters, how often do you give thanks for the work of the gospel in the lives of those here at KA Baptist? Do you thank God always for the seed of faith? Maybe it's small, but do you thank God always for the faith that you see, for the love that you see between brothers and sisters in this church? Are you tempted? Are you tempted to look at each other and only see failures, shortcomings, or things that you perceive as shortcomings? Like, they voted differently than I did. They got vaccinated, or they didn't get vaccinated, or their children are so misbehaved, or they have flaws in their understanding of God. I'm just going to hang out with people who we share the same views on all that with. People who have it more together, I'm just going to be with those people. We're going to fail and we will stumble along in this life. And these Colossian Christians did as well. They failed. They were giving in to temptation and false teachers. Yet in their failures, these Colossian Christians, Epaphras, responded to them by moving toward these saints. He's moving toward these who are struggling, laboring for them as a servant. Do you notice those words that described Epaphras? Minister, that word minister is deacon. Where deacon is like a servant. He reported to Paul their love in the Spirit. If you find that others need to grow in an area of their life and you're tempted to think less of them or even distance yourself from them, ask yourself, how would Epaphras approach this? How would he approach that? He always struggled on their behalf in his prayers, that they may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. He worked hard for them, bear them to the point of tears before the Father in prayer. Work hard for them, pursue them, but be even more intentional about being their servant. Pray until they stand mature, fully assured in all the will of God. The world says, distance yourself. God says, be their servant. You will find that you need them just as much, in fact, even more than you thought they needed you. So when we pray, what should we pray for? We see who Paul prays for. But when we do pray, what should we pray for? Well, what does Paul pray for? This is our second point. For what does Paul pray? Well, when we pray for our brothers and sisters, when we bear them before the Father, as I said, what should we pray for? I wonder, what do we tend to pray for when others ask us to pray for them? Well, let's see what Paul prays for. Look with me at verses 9 through 12. We see that Paul prays for one thing so that they are able to do three things. In verse 9, Paul says, "We don't cease to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." You might be thinking, yes, knowing the will of God. Knowing the will of God for our lives seems like it's pretty important. When others ask for prayer, they ask if we can pray that they would know God's will for their life. And we may be thinking, yes, I need that. That's exactly what I need. If I only knew the will of God for my life, then I could live a life for God. I can live a fulfilling, a successful life, but I don't know. I struggle to know the will of God for my life. This knowledge of his will is not something subjective, something that will change from person to person, something that we need to figure out for ourselves. See, brothers and sisters, if that's you, be comforted. He has spoken. He has told you what his will is for your life. How are you filled with the knowledge of his will? It's God's word that Paul is talking about here. So we can read it this way, filled with the knowledge of his word. God has revealed his will for your life in his word. And when we obey God's word, we are being filled with all spiritual wisdom. That's the other thing that people ask for, right? Pray that I have wisdom. How are you filled with wisdom? Obeying God's word. We are showing our understanding of his will when we obey God's word. If you don't know what the will of God is for your life, obey what God has revealed in his word, and you will never be outside the will of God. Never, ever. If you obey God in his word, you can be assured that that is the will of God for your life. That requires you to be filled with the word of God, doesn't it? But reading and being filled with the word of God is not just for knowledge's sake. Notice what this filling with the knowledge of his word is for in verse 10. Paul asks God for his readers to be filled with the knowledge of his will so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, or in other words, fully pleasing to God. True knowledge of God, true spiritual wisdom and understanding is meant to be worked out in a life that is lived in obedience to God, which is fully pleasing to God. But you might be thinking, but that's the problem. I don't think I'm pleasing to God. I sin regularly. How can God be pleased with me when I fail? I stumble, I sin. Brothers and sisters, do you see the source of how to be pleasing to God? It says, bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. What did we see earlier? Bearing fruit is the work of the gospel. It is the work of the gospel among the Colossians. It is the work among the gospel of the gospel in the whole world during Paul's time. It is the work of the gospel even now among you. You look around at the saints that you admire at Kihei Baptist or wherever your home church is, and you see the Epaphrases, the Pauls who seem to always be giving thanks and praying and joyful, the source of their love and faith and hope is not their own strength, but the work of the gospel and bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, true knowledge of God will bear fruit in good works, love for the saints, and will invariably increase in a desire to know God even more. Did you catch that in verse 10? So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, which is fully pleasing to Him, so that we might bear fruit in every good work and leading to increasing in the knowledge of God. It's a beautiful cycle. The more you know and see God in His Word, the heart that is bearing fruit will do so in pouring themselves out in obedience to God and worship of God because of the glory they have seen, which fuels more desire to know God and see more glory, which starts the cycle all over again. You may think, well, I want to have a burning desire to know God in His Word. It's hard to desire to know God because it's hard to read the Bible. I don't feel like I get much out of it. I don't feel like I'm seeing glory. I feel like I'm just reading. Or you may want to have a desire to love the saints, but it's hard because just those feelings aren't there. It's so inconvenient. Do you want to know how to fuel a desire to love the saints and know God in His Word? Do this. Love the saints and pour your time into knowing God in His Word. You may be thinking, wait, those feelings aren't there. So how can I do that? That's how you fuel your desire. That's how the feelings start to grow there. You walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, obeying Him and increasing the knowledge of God. Keep obeying God. The feelings, the desire will follow. We don't wait for our feelings and our desires to be there to obey God, to know God, to love the saints. We do it, and then God increases that desire to know Him. And so, that's the first thing, is to walk in a manner worthy, be fully pleasing to God, to obey God. That's what spiritual wisdom and understanding is for. Secondly, this filling with the knowledge of His will is for verse 11. Look with me there. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Brothers and sisters, I think maybe some of us need to hear this morning because you're tired. You feel like you're dragging and barely just crawling in this life. Maybe you're frustrated with the way things are in your life, at your job, in this country, in this state, and you're tired. And you read a verse like this and you think, endurance and patience with joy, impossible. Not possible. Brothers and sisters, this is where I'm going to fail us because I don't have the words nor the eloquence to communicate the glory found here, because Paul is not just praying that you would be strengthened with some power to kind of endure, to have the appearance of patience. Paul is asking God that they may be strengthened with all power for all endurance. This word all means to the highest degree, complete, unlimited. That's squeezed into the word all. Paul is asking God to strengthen, and that word strengthen is the same word as power. That we'd be powered by God with the greatest power imaginable. Strengthened by God with the greatest strength possible. Unlimited power according to his glorious might, literally the might of his glory. Brothers and sisters, how to begin to even fathom what Paul is asking God here? And Paul is no one special, like he's the only one that can pray like this. No, you can ask God for this. How much strength is it when we are strengthened with unlimited power? How much power when it is the might of God's glory that is the measure? We have enough strength for all endurance. Same word, the very greatest endurance, the highest degree of patience possible. Joy. Joy if you are weary. Joy is possible when omnipotence is strengthening you. Joy when the measure of that strength is God's glory. How do we get that? How do we tap into that strength? If I had that power in my life would be full. My problems might go away. My suffering might feel more. I might be able to endure my sufferings more. How do I tap into that? The knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. God in his word. That's where you go. Study God. Ask God for more glimpses of his glory in his word. Is that anticlimactic again? It's like, and a lot of letdowns this morning. Were you hoping for something shocking? Because like something like a revolutionary method that we've never heard before. That's what kind of our world is filled with. The next thrilling thing. The next mind-blowing thing. Friends, fads wither. Worldly philosophies fade. The word of God endures forever. Weary saint, if you are here and you are suffering a trial, weary saint, run to the word of God. This doesn't minimize your suffering, your struggle, your hard trial. You may be suffering incredibly. Maybe you've made a mess of things in your life. Maybe someone's made a mess of your life. Go with a mature brother or sister in Christ into the Word of God, asking God to fill you with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, the knowledge of his will, asking God to strengthen you with this power. The world's answers to a fulfilling life. Even some so-called Christian advice will say that the only hope is for your troubles to stop. God wants you healthy and wealthy. The key is not that. The key is unlimited power and the glory of his might to fuel you to endure your trials, to be patient.